For tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I'm your host, Monique Davis Dotson, and I'm excited to introduce you guys to Miss Sterling Certainberg. She is
a mother, a grandmother, a great grandmother. She turned
great grandmother.
You heard that, grandmother. And she turned 100 years young last year. Mm-hmm. I was blessed to meet this remarkable woman when I was only 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And I became her granddaughter by marriage. Mm-hmm. She is simply beautiful inside and out. And she is known to her loved ones by the name of Granny.
Yeah.
And it is an honor and privilege to welcome her to my show. Hello, Granny. Thank you for being here.
Now, y'all, you don't have to show my picture, do you?
No, Granny.
Oh, please don't. Please don't show a picture.
So, Granny, you are a native Houstonian.
Yes.
Where exactly did you grow up?
In the Third Ward area.
In the Third Ward area. Mm. Tell me a little bit about that.
In Third Ward area, near the area of University of Houston. Mm-hmm. It was very, very Victorian. Mm-hmm. People with lawns and outdoor furniture, porches.
Yeah.
Families gathering in the afternoons because there was no air conditioning.
Yes.
Outside.
Outside.
Definitely playing croquet. Mm-hmm. Horseshoes.
So what? Were you good at? Were you good at horseshoes?
No.
No.
My early days before I became a teenager, I took dancing lessons. Now my Victorian home where I lived and grew up was built by my grandfather. Had about 10 steps. So I took dancing lessons downtown Pease and Caroline area. Mm-hmm. And practice my dance steps up and down the Victorian steps.
By the steps. Okay. You became a professional on your steps.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I tap dance up and down, and sometimes my sister, 3 years younger, would watch me.
Uh-huh.
And I guess was amazed
at your skill.
But I never remember her doing any tap dancing.
So we talk about the tap dancing, and I know in mm-hmm. our conversations that you and I have, mm-hmm. we talk about how Houston was so different.
Yes.
In regards to
when
you were
doing
growing up.
Whatever my family, my mother's young family, was doing at home, which was always family. If they took the interurban and went to Galveston
yeah.
to swim. And
yeah.
I was with them
right.
as a youngster.
Yeah.
My mother taught school.
Mm-hmm.
However, she and my father lived close to where he worked.
Okay.
And most especially in the summer, I was on McElhenney Street mm-hmm. in the Third Ward area.
In the Third Ward, yeah.
With her young siblings, who had finished college, but because of the era of depression during the 30s, they did not find work right away.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about that era and mm-hmm. just growing up, mm-hmm. and you know, we see a lot of images mm-hmm. in regards to to segregation,
mm-hmm.
to injustices mm-hmm. that happened to our people.
Mm-hmm.
Houston
was
different than a lot of things you might have seen in Alabama or Mississippi.
That I might not have when I'm spoken to regarding the era and telling my experience.
Mm-hmm.
I said it wouldn't sell. Because it was so pleasant.
Right. Now, explain that to my
audience.
Because
my family were playing bridge. I learned to play bridge at 11
mm-hmm.
because they would teach us to play bridge.
Right.
They had a Victrola, which was the music, and we learned to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And family gatherings was very, very important. important. Mm-hmm. Very important.
Right.
And looking out for each other. We were blessed. Now, my father had, my grandfather and my mother's people had horses. Mm-hmm. They reared, I had a lot of horses. I think some of them still, members still have as many as 6 to 12 horses.
Wow.
To this day.
Yeah.
But my grandfather had a buggy and a wagon.
Uh-huh.
He had retired from Union Pacific Railroad Company.
Okay.
And he just kind of rode around the city. And it was interesting that after my grandmother passed, he just rode around and watched Houston area grow.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I understand, just this is not a big deal. But the last place he went was to see navigation and the ship channel come into being.
Are you? So tell me, what high school did you graduate from?
Jack Yates.
Jack Yates.
What else? Where
you
else?
Hear that, JY? You hear that, JY?
I was
proud alumni here.
I was one of the last that I guess I could say was supposed to be the segregated marching group of that time.
Right.
Not just Yates, but of the high school in the Thanksgiving parade.
Okay.
And it was the principal, William Holland, who had become, he had been a coach but became principal, who said that we were not, he was against our schools marching last and behind everything, and we were not going to march. So that changed that.
Okay.
And though we had no problem with it, we were so proud to be marching down Houston's Main Street.
Yeah.
But for, I was one of the last to march as to what was supposed to be segregated.
And you say supposed to be. Why do you say supposed to be?
I said supposed to be because there were those who were fighting that it would not be, that we would not be behind the sheriff department and the horses.
I understand.
Wasn't a lot of automobiles.
Yeah.
Only dignitaries were in the automobile.
Yeah.
So that was what Professor Holland was saying.
Wow.
We would not be last.
Right.
But we were so proud of what we were doing, and our neighborhoods were competing as to how well we marched and looked in our uniform. That, of course, at that time was Booker T. Washington, Wheatley, and Yates.
Wow. You know, that's really strong for
a difference.
For a difference. It just instilled that, hey, you are important too. You were able to grow up with a different mindset than a lot of people have. And
that's
it seems like Principal Holland
because
was still doing the same thing with you guys as students.
That's right. If you were not able, perhaps, to go to college, there were those subjects that you could take, like auto mechanics and woodwork and cooking and sewing.
And find a lot of integrity and pride in that.
And know that you were up to par.
And you can contribute.
And contribute.
Yeah.
And went to college with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
A lot of confidence.
We talk about it as you speak about confidence, you being a mother of four.
Yes.
It would take a lot of confidence because all of your children grew up in that with that mindset of
they
having
did.
That confidence. I'm divorced as the
that,
but
yes, I too.
We don't have that. We're just family.
We,
you
that,
would never
that's
know
not
in this
baggage
group.
That we are carrying.
Not at all. But it also allows us to be one of the reasons I wanted you to be on the show is because we have that in common, and you've been able to impart a lot of wisdom to me. You've been also
continue to succeed, children succeed.
Exactly. But that goes back to me talking about having a strong mindset and a confidence.
That's
and
right.
Not feeling that, you know, making the kids feel like, okay, just because this certain thing happened in your life that you can't succeed.
No.
It gives you even more motivation to
and
do something.
And their fathers were so proud of them that they had nothing that was giving them another direction.
Mm-hmm.
It was about, I love the word integrity.
Yeah.
Because it was about them.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about the fact that their father and I didn't get along.
Yeah.
God had given them to us.
Yes.
And we did not want to do anything that would interfere with their mindset toward their being.
Right, right. That's powerful. That's a lot of power. Because a lot of people don't have that, you know.
And
that.
I'm proud to say,
mm-hmm.
and we'll maybe take back a little bit. They got most of that from me, not the father.
Of course. No disrespect, Dad.
I say to you, Monique, that times were so different. I'm sure my mindset was not near equal to India's because of all of the changes and technology that I did not have.
Yeah.
If I not had the support of my family, even if it was learning to play whist or bridge or taps, which that could not be very hard, could it? When you think about it,
that was
a wonderful life, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Taking the interurban transportation, going to Galveston with them.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, they were like Kyrie and Cole and my great grandchildren. Now, my grandchildren and great grandchildren are quite unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just my ego and that they are mine. They are impressive.
They really are.
Everywhere they go.
I would agree. We have a really impressive group of young
and
people in our family.
And I am so proud at this time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The satisfaction
to see.
Yes.
Yeah. We talk about, we mentioned your kids just a second ago. Alphonse and Charla.
And
Jean. You're, as a mother of four and losing a daughter, your youngest daughter, to
cancer.
Jean.
The daughter that I lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned and I guess I knew because while not being, I put it, over religious, I always, from beginning, taught my children their prayers.
Oh, yeah.
And we prayed together as each of them came into being.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned through dealing and what happened with my youngest daughter, who was also very successful.
Mm-hmm, she was.
Not only worked out of college for Delta Airline Marketing in Atlanta, but became a United States equine appraiser.
Yes.
And
what was beautiful about your relationship with your youngest daughter, Jean, is that not only was she your daughter, she was your friend, just as all of your kids.
True.
But you guys had a special bond because you were roommates. You lived together.
That,
so you have some
different... That was a bond, and it's still a bond.
Yeah.
Yes. And definitely, I mentioned that it made me realize with all that was going on and the happiness and the joy from a little girl. And I didn't realize, well, I realized it because, believe it or not, my son took her to his doctor mm-hmm. his children's doctor in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who said that she had had rheumatic fever. Mm-hmm. That's back before she went to kindergarten,
yeah.
about 3-year-old. And smoking back in that day was everywhere, and so her lungs were weak.
Yeah, and because she passed of her diagnosis was lung cancer.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me...
And she never complained.
She never complained.
She never wanted me to think, and the day, if I want to say she died near midnight, that day, Saturday, before Mother's Day, we went shopping, and her took ill. Those lungs decided they were going to go bad, give up together. There had been incidents where one would go out, a give up problem, but the other one was working, and it was sort of back and forth.
Yeah.
So I always had hope.
Yeah, that she would pull through.
That she would pull.
So, tell me, as a caretaker, what was the most difficult thing? And I'm asking you these questions so that you can inspire other people who are probably going through the situation.
I didn't know what to do. You didn't. And that's despair.
Mm.
But we sat on the couch.
Yeah.
And she would just stretch out and lay her head in my lap.
Yeah.
And I'd pat her.
So just being there.
That was all
you needed to do.
She finally said to me, Mother, call the ambulance. That night after Saturday's shopping.
Yeah.
And I guess she was tired.
Yeah.
And we were finishing our supper. And she said, Mother, call the ambulance. I need to go to emergency. And I called, and it looked like they would never get here because I'm looking at her, and her attitude, as I remember, it gets very emotional.
Yeah.
She said, don't panic. And she walked out of this door, out of our house and out of the door, and my neighbor said, seen the lights, not the siren. They didn't have the siren, but the lights. And there my neighbors were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they knew that our circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asking me, what could they do? And they asked me, did I want them to go with me to take her? I said, no, I'm getting in the ambulance with her. Yeah. And they would not let me get in the back. They made me sit in front, but I wanted to be in the back with her because I may have no reason to think otherwise. She died on the way.
And but you were there. You were
I
still
sat
there.
Outside that door, and that was like 9:30 or 10 o'clock till 12:30 outside the door by myself.
Yeah.
And you just wonder. And I stopped wondering because I'm back to saying, God's will be done.
Mm.
She was by herself and I was by myself. God's will
be done.
Be done, that should be.
As you were, you know, as a mother's love, you're always going to be there for your daughter, but you were a strong caretaker for her. You took her back and forth to doctor's appointments.
She was determined she was not going to stop working.
She did.
And she worked, and she just said, Mother, will you take me?
Yeah, you would
she
take her to work.
She knew she didn't trust herself driving anymore.
Yeah.
She didn't trust her whatever I had to do because I knew she was going to want to go.
Because you wanted to honor her that way.
She would be so weak sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Her co-workers, who also supported her, would meet us at the car and taking her to her office where she worked, up the elevator and everything, and would bring her out when I picked her up in the evening.
Yeah.
That's the kind of support she wanted and needed.
And people honored her that way, and they did it.
I had to do that too, is what I'm saying.
I know you did. You did. And you did a good job. And you made life easier for her by allowing her.
I hope so.
You did. Trust me. You
regardless
did.
To how I felt
regardless
about
of
you
how,
don't need
and,
to
and
work.
Regardless of how other people
look
may have
it.
Thought,
look
you
at
should
it. That's right.
Respond based on
that's
their
right.
belief.
That's
you were
right.
here saying was, that I have to honor the not only my daughter,
but the patient.
Oh,
that's hard.
Oh.
But you gifted, you give the person that you're taking care of
yes.
the ability to still have the integrity.
Yeah. And that's
that,
why I'm saying,
yeah.
it's not like she would be Indian. And you
yeah.
say, oh, no, you're going to do that.
Right.
You're not going to go to work today.
Right.
If
right.
she got up and put on her clothes, took a bath,
yeah.
put on her clothes and said, will you take me? It's doing this.
Yeah. But ultimately, you surrendered to your will
because of my belief
yes.
in God.
Amen. That's strong. That's strong.
Because I go all the way back to say, I'm here because God's will be done. And everything has worked. I have the support, not believe it or not. Not of people of my age, but people of her age
mm-hmm.
who supported her, support me.
Yeah.
And it is so unbelievable.
Yeah.
And yet, my joy
yes.
of every day comes from the fact that these people, God's will be done. I didn't know them. I didn't
yeah.
know her co-workers.
Yeah.
I didn't know all of her friends she went to college with.
Yeah.
And those are the people who, when you hear that phone ringing all the time,
yes.
are calling me
to check
because
on you.
They liked or loved Jean.
Yeah.
And they have supported me.
Yeah.
It's beyond understanding.
Exactly. And that's why you would only, you can't, like you said, you can't define it. You just have to trust it because you know God is with you. There's no other explanation.
No way in the world
yeah.
we're going to even talk about God.
Yeah.
To look at it that it's His
yeah.
will.
That's another powerful statement for somebody out there who is wondering why certain things are happening along
yes.
your journey. There is no surprise to
yes.
God. And
yes.
and Granny has
yes.
really, you know, nailed it
yes.
in trying to, and you hear her
mm-hmm.
emphasize
mm-hmm.
that His will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get to a place in your life where you trust
it's
Him
not easy.
Or you don't. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's not easy it's, sometimes.
In spite of the fact that I'm not wanting in, and I'm not wanting anyone to think that I didn't have God in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, when I say God's will be done, that doesn't mean I don't think, oh, why God? Because if it's God's will be done, I just can't know why.
No.
Or what His reason is,
and, it's not,
and what my future
his
is.
His thoughts and His ways.
It's beyond.
Beyond our own. So
yeah.
I want to just talk to you about being, you worked for a long time. You're a dispatcher.
Yes, I
worked
all
the city.
Over the city.
How was that as a woman, you know, back in that time just working?
It was interesting. I worked from the clinics and the doctors gave me the people to see,
mm-hmm.
and I worked with a lot of different.
So basically, you had a pretty good work experience as a woman.
Very
you know,
good.
You
Very
hear
good.
Some women who don't didn't have
no,
that experience,
no.
but you had a good experience.
No. I worked in the workforce. In what they call the Model Cities area,
mm-hmm.
and the Model Cities money that was federal money that was paid, and I worked and. When that money played out,
mm-hmm.
I think it was 3 or 4 years, that's when I went to police department.
Mm-hmm.
And that was I have to be careful how I put this because it's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly isn't something that someone told me
yeah.
was a fact.
Yeah.
The mayor of the city at that time
mm-hmm.
did something that similar to what is that program where people send in undercover persons to see what's going on.
Oh.
That's why I have to be careful.
You gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there were people who were already City of Houston employees mm-hmm. and looking for work, mm-hmm. and our supervisors were the ones, as I understand it, who selected us for working in this instance for the mayor.
Okay.
And we were not welcomed as civilians. Mm-hmm. That's back to talking about, it wasn't about segregation.
Mm-hmm.
That was just an area where officers didn't need civilians.
Right.
Or what civilians.
Right. Exactly.
And they didn't know what to do with us because we were hired by the mayor. Right. I haven't ever done a lot of this, only to one or two of my family members and close friends,
mm-hmm.
because it was like undercover boss, and she started making some changes. She too being female.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
That's what I wanted you to touch base on, just about being a female and working.
She being a female.
Yeah.
And she hired three females
right.
to go in with police department.
Yeah.
Wasn't that something?
That was a big change there.
Wasn't it
that you were part of?
And don't you understand when I say I'm careful
yeah.
how I talk
exactly.
about it? But the result was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Some of those people, even after I retired from there,
mm-hmm.
still called me to see about me.
Wow.
And they learned to love me. I was much older, in a way,
mm-hmm.
than most of those young police when, and most especially the cadets,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't sure if they wanted to be, well, they weren't sure if how they wanted to handle us because being hired by the mayor,
yeah,
it was yeah. something for
that
them
to adjust to as well.
Adjust to,
yeah,
and giving her her rules and regulations
yeah.
and how they could be handled, and she looking at their records to see, and it was about the community
yeah.
to see how and if indeed anything needed to be
to
changed,
be
if she and could
it,
do it.
And it seems like they weren't afraid to change. They knew that change would make them better.
Well, it had,
yeah.
she had indeed to go through the city
right
herself
right
to get that to be
right, but it seems like the city wanted or welcomed
back
it.
To Houston the way they were then in the majority.
Exactly.
I don't know anything about Ku Klux Klan. They probably might have been next door mm-hmm. but I didn't know it.
Right
huh
uh-huh.
That's interesting, isn't
that's,
it?
That's a good interesting.
Yes.
So I wanted to
and we worked in there, and that's how I became a dispatcher and finally did indeed retire mm-hmm. from that department. Stayed there all those about 12 years.
Yeah. A good experience there.
Wasn't it something?
Yeah. That's
yes.
something.
Yes.
So you and I have, like I said, we have so many things in common. We're old. We are the oldest siblings.
Yes.
We're a mother of four kids. We
yes.
married. We divorced.
Yes.
We share just a lot of things. I can come over here and we just sit and talk and laugh. And we talk, just talking about relationships. What advice or words of wisdom can you give the listeners about relationships? What can you say that you learned about those things?
I learned that first there's trust, and we are young sometime and inexperienced.
Yeah.
We can't, I said can't, maybe that's not the right description, be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were saying that in relationships and what you can look back on, mm-hmm. on now, mm-hmm. what have you learned about the relationships you were in?
I'm not going to put all the blame. I'm looking at it from my personal standpoint. Mm-hmm. It's a give and take, and we have our options, and we have our brain, though God's will be done. We have our brain, and we hope that we're taking care of ourselves.
Yeah.
But we want the relationship.
Yeah.
What am I going to give or share anything for just anything?
Yeah.
Look at it for what it's worth. Being God-fearing, mm-hmm. and wanting happiness and joy for everyone.
Yeah.
That's why we part sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It's the mature way to look at it and define.
I want each of us to be happy. Because
yeah. it can't be about one person.
It's just not about me. Suffer. It's about us.
Us. Yeah.
However, we really have to forget about the two of us.
Yeah.
Because if others have come into being,
yeah.
we certainly, if we love them, mm-hmm. and we do,
yeah.
and care, mm-hmm. we don't want to make their lives unhappy.
Amen, Granny.
We must not. I can even be a little ridiculous and say, you know, it's our fault they are here.
So we got to do better. We have to do better.
We got to accept the fact.
Yeah.
That's where we have to use our brain,
common sense,
love,
our love, yeah.
And any commitment, mm-hmm. that we've made. I'm not just talking about marriage commitment and vows.
Yeah.
If we have to give ourselves a good excuse for moving on, just try our best, and I try my best. I looked at the fact that my children, the progress they had made, mm-hmm. and they were our children.
Yeah.
The progress that they were making, mm-hmm. when you just look at each one of them, mm-hmm. as little individuals that we brought into the world, mm-hmm. I'm very proud that God gave me those people.
Yeah.
And I just pray, continue to pray, that they will be following their effort to be happy, successful.
Mm-hmm. When you are gardening, you have your peace. Yeah.
I dug a carp pond.
Right. Why do you think, why is it gardening? I mean, what draws you to the garden?
Well, my mother didn't work. She was a school teacher.
Yeah.
But after she married and we came along, mm-hmm. she didn't work. And she did gardening.
Right.
And raised canary birds, mm-hmm. and sold canary birds to the nurseries,
wow.
to sell.
So you think a lot of your gardening,
I believe,
you know,
it was something
it
I like
mom.
Seeing what she did, and I, being a little one and out with her, mm-hmm. and my father too, he bought a property and had a truck garden, vegetables and...
Is it something about watching something you plant
grow.
And to just grow?
Grow.
And know that you are part
when
of
I
it.
When I went out there the other day and I saw those three water lilies
yeah.
that sprung up,
yeah.
that was so much
just brings
enjoy.
You joy. Yeah.
And wait a minute. I've learned something.
What?
My neighbors don't even want to work in their yard, but they enjoy my yard.
Well, you give a lot of beauty to your yard through gardening.
I'm just so happy out there doing that, and I don't know if I know why.
Yeah, but you connect to it.
Yeah.
Now, last year, we celebrated your 100th birthday, mm-hmm. and we had a big celebration.
I was so shocked. I haven't stopped crying yet, in a way.
It was so beautiful. What did you enjoy most about that celebration?
The fact I was and still in shock of the many people. Do you realize, and you do, how many people traveled?
Yeah.
To that occasion.
I was there.
And many who couldn't come, and they have made every effort yeah. to do something for me.
Yeah.
I'm repeating, my era of people and the people in my life that when my tears come, I miss them yeah. and wish they had been there.
Yeah.
But to think about the joy of how many, many people I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine people who are the professional people in your life, like your attorney or your doctor, mm-hmm. People you wouldn't even think
mm-hmm.
would travel 5 hours of driving to say they like you.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
As we come to a conclusion, what advice can you give? You've been blessed to live 100 years and approaching 101 before you know it. What advice can you give the listeners today?
I really don't want anyone, got this from my daughter, to pass. Don't give up on yourself. God gave me this being.
Yeah.
Let him take it over. I let him take it over.
Yeah.
But let me make you laugh. I'm not going to be 101. I'm going to go back to childhood. I'll be 99, 98, 97, 96. I'm going back to childhood.
We're going back to childhood. I love it. I love it. I want to thank you for your time, your wisdom. Most importantly, your love and your support. And
I don't know of anybody in this world I dislike.
No.
I'm not lying.
And well, I don't know anyone who dislikes you, because you have been a gift to us all, and I thank you for that.
I thank you.
And I love you.
I thank you. I thank you. I thank my God for you and all of this. I pray every day when I wake up. Not for waking up to end this, please.
Mm-hmm.
But for the beautiful, beautiful world and the life I live.
And it doesn't get better than that, guys. Just live a little.
Yes.
And if you're blessed.
You're blessed.
God will bless you to live.
Blessed.
100 years and more.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Granny. I love you.
I love you, too. You know I do.
What a beautiful story about seeing life through the eyes of a woman who's blessed to live 100 years on this earth. Going through different stages in life, being a mother and a mother who lost a child. That can be very difficult, but by her faith, she has overcome and in many ways still overcoming that. You never really get over that as a mom. But I'm sure that her testimony and her stories, just of growing up as a little girl in Houston and having such a great experience, the family unit that she grew up in, and the importance of family. If you didn't get anything out of the interview, which I'm sure you did, but the most important thing that Granny was able to share with us is the importance of family and the importance of having faith in God. So take those beautiful years, 100 years of wisdom, and apply it to your life and learn to trust God and love your family and appreciate them, especially while they are here. Have a beautiful day. I look forward to you guys joining me next Tuesday at noon. God bless, and until the next podcast.